30 feet.
And that women's hearts beat faster than men's, except when the Vikings line up for a field goal at the end of the game. Did you know that the acid in your stomach is so strong, it's strong enough to dissolve razor blades? Don't try it, but it's true. Did you know that the human body is estimated to have, I couldn't believe this, 60,000 miles of blood vessels? Now, to put that in perspective, it's 25,000 miles around the earth. In your body alone, that would be 2.5 times around the earth of blood vessels that you have. Did you know that the surface area of a human lung is equal to a tennis court? Did you know that your liver has approximately 500 different functions? Did you know that your left lung is smaller than your right lung to make room for your heart? Do you think that happened by random chance and accident? Or an intelligent designer? Did you know that your sneezes, and I just heard one, regularly exceed 100 miles per hour, while coughs only clock in at 60 miles an hour, but cover your nose and your mouth? Did you know that your feet have 500,000 sweat glands that can produce more than a pint of sweat per day? No wonder people struggle with stinky feet. Did you know that during your lifetime, you will produce enough saliva to fill 2 swimming pools? Did you know that the average person passes gas 14 times a day? And some people, a whole lot more. Did you know that the largest cell in the human body is the female egg? And the smallest cell is the male sperm. Yet God designed the two to come together to create a baby. Did you know that 3 things pregnant women dream of the most during their first trimester? Now, I don't know how they figured this out. They must have done a survey. Frogs, worms, and potted plants. Ladies, what are you thinking about? Did you know that your teeth start growing 6 months before you were birthed? Did you know that a baby in the womb acquires fingerprints at the age of 3 months? And by the way, according to the Word of God, a baby in the womb, or out of the womb, is still a baby. Did you know, women, that you are born better smellers than men and remain better smellers over your life, especially if you are related to one passing gas 14 times a day? Did you know that your nose can remember 50,000 different scents? Did you know that your eyes are always the same size from birth, but your nose and your ears never stop growing? Did you know that it takes 17 muscles working together to smile, but 43 muscles to frown? So if you want a little break per day, smile a lot. Did you know that the strongest muscle in the human body is what? Your tongue. No wonder James says, the tongue can no man tame. In addition to the tongue, did you know that the hardest bone in the human body is the jawbone? Did you know that you use 200 muscles working together to take one step? Did you know about 32 million bacteria call every inch of your body home? Did you know that humans shed and regrow outer skin cells about every 27 days? That's not being comfortable in your skin. Did you know that 300 million cells die in the human body every minute, though you have somewhere between 10 and 50 trillion cells? Kind of sounds like the national debt. And that 300 billion new cells are produced every day. Did you know that your body gives off enough heat in 30 minutes to bring half a gallon of water to boil? Do you think all of this complexity and function came about by random chance and accident or by intelligent, powerful designer. No wonder the psalmist gives glory to God for the wisdom and power of God as he says, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And dear friends, you are not a cosmic accident, but an incredible creation of God, made in the image of God, to have a relationship with God, with great bodily diversity, yet amazing bodily unity. And that's Paul's point in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in reference to the diversity and unity of the body of Christ. We begin in verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Well, of course not. If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Well, no. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? It wouldn't exist. If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? It wouldn't happen. But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which lacks it. Why? That there should be no schism or division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church. First, apostles. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Well, no. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Do all have gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. But earnestly desire the best gifts. And yet I show you a more excellent way. Now, as we examine this tremendous passage of Scripture today, we need to become impressed with the diversity of the body of Christ as it relates to spiritual gifts and service, along with the unity of the body of Christ as we are all one body in Christ. We also need to be impressed with the sovereignty of God in determining each believer's place of service and spiritual gift in the body of Christ. And to be content and not covetous or competitive with others and their places of service or their spiritual gifts in the body of Christ. But instead, we need to value and we need to appreciate others and their service in the body of Christ. And to make sure to exhibit and express genuine love and care for all the body of Christ, starting with your own local church. Dear believers, this is a very practical section of Scripture based upon sound doctrine and the analogy of a human body that applies to you personally and to all of this church corporately. And so you need to listen carefully and take heed personally, as these many truths and applications in this study are just for you. As we look at body life God's way, Now, as we examine this, let's begin our class in Anatomy 101. And we touched on this last Wednesday night. But the first thing we noted, number one, is that the human body is complete as one entity, though consisting of many different members. The human body is complete as one entity, though consisting of many different members. And that's what verse 12 tells us. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are still one body, so also is Christ. You see, though our body is an organic whole, its various parts perform widely different functions so that no two parts of the body are exactly the same. But they all are part of one body. And thus the human body, though made up of many distinct components, is still only one body. Many distinct components, but still one body. Your body has two eyes and two ears and two legs and two arms and one nose and one mouth and one heart and two lungs and one liver, but you still only have one body. There's diversity of parts, but unity of body. So how did we become one body in Christ? And that's the first application. For just like the human body is one with many members, so also is the body of Christ. That's how verse 12 ended. But all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is the body of Christ. And the body of Christ is in reference to the church. In reference to the universal church, which then finds expression in local churches in which believers gather. And remember, the building is not the church, the people are the church. So how did Jesus Christ form His spiritual body? Well, verse 13 makes it clear that the means to this spiritual positional unity is the baptizing and indwelling, of the Holy Spirit relative to every believer in this age. Verse 13 says, "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." Now, we pointed out last Wednesday night that when an individual in this present dispensation of grace in the church age places their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they believe that Jesus Christ died for their sins and that He rose from the grave and that salvation was a free gift, not an earned reward. And they place their faith in Christ alone. At that moment, they are blessed with all spiritual blessings. At that moment, they are saved by the grace of God. At that moment, they are forgiven all of their sins. At that moment, the Spirit of God places them into union with Christ, and in doing so, in union with every other believer in the body of Christ. That is called, in verse 13, the baptism by the Holy Spirit. It's not an issue of power, it's an issue of placement. It's not for a select few, it's for all believers. And it happens at a moment of time when you are saved. Otherwise, we would have some who have been baptized by the Spirit and some who have not. And it doesn't matter whether you're a Jew or a Greek, a non-Jew, whether you were bond or free, and there are many people in slavery in that day, just like there are people in slavery in our day. But those aren't the issues. In fact, I was talking to a black pastor just yesterday that was visiting here in Duluth, who, by the grace of God, wants to start a new church in Southside Chicago called Salvation by Grace Bible Church. Subtitled, "It's About Grace, Not About Race." That's good. I said, "Amen." That's good. Because it isn't about race, it's about grace. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That God wants all to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. He's not willing any should perish, but all would come to repentance. And thus, the moment an individual places their faith in Christ, they are baptized by the Spirit into Christ. But now look at the end of verse 13. And have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Now, this isn't talking about the baptizing work of the Spirit, but the indwelling of the Spirit. Just like if you were to drink some water, the water would now be in you. In the same way, at the moment of salvation, you are indwelt by the Spirit of God, and you are sealed by the Spirit of God, marking you off as a child of God, and you're sealed until the day of redemption, which means you can never lose your salvation. You're given eternal life, you're saved by the grace of God, you're sealed by the Spirit of God, and there are multiple reasons why when you're saved, it can never be lost. Now, with that understanding, we're prepared to move up a class to Anatomy 201 and consider the interdependence of the body. Verse 14. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. Now, the point is very simple. The human body is the compilation of individual parts which make up the whole. Many members, but again, one body. You see, without the various parts of the body, you don't have a body. Just like if you had a football team, and all you have is a quarterback, you know what? You don't have a team. You just have a quarterback. You got to have 11 players on the team. Unless you're playing Canadian football, then you have 12. But if you don't have 12 on the team or on the field, you don't have a team. In the same way, if you have just a hand floating around and nothing else, you don't have a body. All body parts are placed in the body for a particular function and are a valued part of the whole. And it's incredible the number of parts in your body. In fact, at birth you have approximately 270 bones at birth. You have some 78 organs in the body, 12 organ systems, such as digestive and immune, reproductive and nervous and so forth. And what's incredible is they're all working together in the whole of this body. In fact, when they stop working, we start having major problems. There are five vital organs that you can't live without. The brain, the heart, the liver, the lungs, and the kidneys. Amazing amount of individual parts which make up the whole. Yet, only one body. And each part is designed by God to serve a specific purpose or purposes for the common good of the body. And so is the body of Christ. Now, if this is true positionally, and it is, what should be true practically? Verse 15. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Well, of course not. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Well, no. See, what's the point? Each member of the human body is content with its place and function while recognizing that its difference does not mean it is not part of the whole body. You see, there's no complaining in the body. You know, you don't hear the foot saying, you know, I want to be a hand. I want to be a hand. No, the foot's content to be a foot. You don't hear the ankle saying, I want to be a nose so everyone can see me. No, very content. Ankles don't compete with noses. Very content in the place they are, and they recognize they have a function and that they are a necessary, valued part of the body. Whether they are conspicuous or inconspicuous, all are needed. I remember ministering to a believer a few years ago who had to have his big toe removed. Do you know how hard that is to walk when you don't have a big toe? Every part of the body serves a purpose. And you see, we lived in a day in which there were so-called vestigial organs, which we thought weren't really needed. In fact, we were told that they were carryovers from evolution. But the longer we learn and the more we observe, we recognize everyone has a function. You know, when I was growing up, the thing to do if you had inflamed tonsils, take them out. You don't need your tonsils. They're just a carryover. And now we're finding out, no, tonsils do serve a purpose. You see, why would God put extra members in your body which have no purpose? Now, we put extra fat on our body that has no purpose. But God designed every part of the body with a purpose. And yet, it's all part of the same body. And what's needed now is cooperation and contentment, not competitiveness and discontentment. And when we're not looking to the Lord, we can become jealous of someone else's service. Or we can become jealous of their spiritual gift. Or we can become discontented with our place and our function in the body of Christ. And if we're not careful, pretty soon we're murmuring and we're complaining. I didn't know my dad, that person to do that around here. And why didn't I do that? And you know what? You don't see that in the body at all. Nor should it be in the body of Christ. And thus, each part of the human body, number three, has a needed function that no other part can do. Verse 17, if the whole were an eye, where would be the hearing? Don't you love that picture? You know, I don't have my PowerPoint today, but you know, I just have this picture of this huge eye and a couple feet sticking up. Hey, Cyclops, how you doing today? Not bad, you know. It's all about me. You could say I'm I, you know. You know, obviously, that would be a monster that could not function. And he goes on to say, if all were just an ear, who would do the smelling? Can you imagine a big ear just running around? Can you imagine a big nose? Now, that's not hard for some people to imagine, because some of them have really big noses. But obviously, how could you function as a body? Every part is needed in the body. And that's why we are to appreciate it, we are to recognize it, we're to value it, there's to be cooperation, we are to work together, as it were, for the cause of Christ. Whether you can see the body part or not. Now, who gets excited about their liver, usually? And yet, try living without one. Or even using a team analogy, thinking of football. You know, games can be won and lost by the special teams, though they're only on the field occasionally. But you have poor special team play, you may lose a Super Bowl over it. Every part of the team plays a part and is important. Don't underestimate your value and your needed function in the local church. And yet, what happens is, we are not only dependent on the Lord, we are interdependent on each other. And when we're interdependent, at times, sparks fly. And that's why we need the lubricating oil of the Spirit of God. That's why we need the fruit of the Spirit, which is love. That's why we need to remember we are what we are by the grace of God. That's why we need to be content and not competitive with the gifts God has given to us. And we need to recognize again the value of team ministry, body life. God never designed the Lone Ranger mentality. Now, I understand there are those who have no access to a local church. That's sound. And maybe you're watching today via the webcast. I understand that. The Lord understands that need. Or maybe you live a long way away. And again, I'm thankful for the webcast in those cases. But if you can access a good local church, by all means, do that. I would never encourage someone to watch the webcast and bypass their local church if they have a sound local church to be part of. Then just watch the archive message if you want to keep up with the series or supplement what is being taught there. But don't bypass it. God wants to use you in the body of Christ. So let's see the applications. Verse 18. But now, God has set the members, each one of them, in the body. Now watch this. Just as He pleased. Just as He pleased. You see, each believer's place of service and spiritual gift has been sovereignly assigned by God. He places every person in the body as it pleases Him. Not only does He determine what gift you have, He even determines what place you serve. You see, kind of like my eye. My eye did not self-assume the power of vision. This was determined by God. And that is why you do not have to push for a position in the church, nor do you need a position to serve. You need to walk with the Lord in a willing heart to let the Lord use you in whatever way He wants. And indeed, He directs some people to serve in various roles in the church, in official ministry. On the other hand, there's a lot of unofficial one-anothers that go on. In fact, if you have to give a position to someone to get them to do something for Christ, you've got the wrong person. They're not the kind of person you need to give a position to. There is divine wisdom behind the placement of each believer. And that's true with your gifts, and that's true with your ministry. And you remember, when you're discontented, your criticism is really with God. You're saying, God, you don't know how to make this thing function the way it should. God, you're not using me the way you should. Now, usually we don't shake our hands at God. A lot of times, instead, we become critical of spiritual leadership. And indeed, some leaders obviously may not be what God would want them to be. We recognize we're dealing with fallible people when we have spiritual leadership. They all have VO. They all have idiosyncrasies. They all have areas of maturity. But so did you as a parent, right? So do you have your kids. Oh, it's okay to complain. I'm not a perfect parent. No. Well, I'm looking for a different family because I'm not happy with your parenting. No. You learn to look to the Lord and serve as the Lord leads. And by the way, the Lord knows how to get the attention of the elders of Duluth Bible Church. If you want to be used in some kind of way, you pray and you can approach us and you can talk to us about it. And it might be a right intention, but maybe not the right time. Kind of like, you know, your 10-year-old who approaches you and says, "Hey, Dad, can I take the car?" You say, "Well, that's a nice intention, but this is not the right time." Why not? Yeah, I want to do the cow. And I see other people using the cow. And they're, wait a second. You're not ready for that. There'll be a time. And that's why even when people get saved or they become part of Duluth Bible Church, we don't thrust them into some ministry right away. We don't say, "Hey, we got a live one. Let's give them a ministry. In 6 months, make them a deacon so we can keep them in the church." And especially if they're rich. That's how a lot of churches operate. Instead, we say, just come and sit for a couple of years and get established in the Word. Just give a chance to grow. Don't feel any pressure. And then as you grow in the Lord and you feel led of the Lord to do something as unto the Lord, then do it. Because don't ever do it as unto the pastor. Don't ever do it as unto the church. You either do it as unto the Lord or don't do it. And if you can't do it on the Lord, get out of that ministry. No pressure ever to serve here. But a great opportunity and an appeal to let the Lord use you. But never coerced and never forced. Because if you can't, motivated by the love of Christ, in good conscience, do something as unto the Lord. Or maybe you could at one time, but now due to other factors, you're not as free to do something. Then get out. And we'll trust the Lord to provide. And if the Lord doesn't provide for some ministries, let's shut them down. And keep in mind, priority ministry. And so each believer's, number three, each believer's place of service, each believer's place of service and spiritual gift has been individually crafted by God. Individually crafted by God. Verse 18. But now God has set the members, each of them in the body, just as He pleased. By the way, that does not apply just to the more important gifts. And I am convinced that one of the roles of spiritual leadership is not only to feed and lead God's flock here. And by the way, it's God's flock, it's not ours. We're heavily invested. We love you. We minister to you. We're available to you. We're accessible to you. Don't think we're too busy. We're not. We're busy, but we have time. But we remember, you're the Lord's sheep, not ours. And while sometimes believers can crush their leaders' hearts, I've been crushed at times. You know, when I've been used of the Lord to lead someone to Christ or teach them the Word, or I've loved them, I've prayed for them, I've helped them in their marriages and family, and then something happens and they get ticked off and they leave. But I'm reminded, they're the Lord's children yet. They're not mine. I love them. Now I just have to love them from afar. But everyone is individually crafted, and part of the role of spiritual leadership is to get see someone's giftedness, maturity, whatever, and make sure you put them in the right place. For example, you take a person who's not real good at catching a ball and you don't make him a catcher. Right? You want to find the right person to be the catcher on the team. You don't want somebody who has no power to bad cleanup. And part of the role of the manager is to put the person in the right place so they can succeed. And you know, it's my desire and the elders' desires here to see, as the Lord is using you, as you have interest and giftedness and whatever, to put you in a place, as it were, where you can succeed. But we're never going to force you to do it. You're going to have to do it as unto the Lord. Application number three. Each believer's place of service and spiritual gift is needful for the proper functioning growth of the body of Christ. It is needful for the proper functioning growth in the body of Christ. Now go with me, to verse 19. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. Notice, diversity but unity, all needed, placed into the body, and yet only one body. You know, as I think of service in the body of Christ, put a marker here and go with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And as I've shared in the past, this passage of Scripture has shaped our view of ministry at Duluth Bible Church more than any other passage. You know, again, in conversing with this black pastor yesterday, who wants to plant this church in Southside Chicago, we were talking about planting a church and things to keep in mind and so forth. And in part of the discussion, we talked about the fact that you must keep in mind that the primary purpose of the church, or the gathering of the church, is not to be an evangelistic center. Now, that doesn't mean you don't preach the gospel. You do. But the primary purpose of the gathering of the church is the worship of God. and the edifying and equipping of the saints so they can leave that building and do the work of ministry, including evangelism. Otherwise, what happens with churches who adopt the philosophy that we need to get bodies into the building to evangelize is they inevitably compromise and water things down, and now they don't want to preach anything but offense because they got a bunch of new people in there, and now we just have to have evangelistic messages, which usually they're not real good at anyhow, as they hardly ever seem to get the gospel straight. And now you're told in church growth movement, when you come to church, don't bring your Bible because that might intimidate someone. We'll just put the verses on the PowerPoint. And it's because the whole purpose of the gathering of the church is kittywampus. Because it's to exalt the Lord in worship, and it's to edify and equip the saints, which then overflows towards evangelism. And so we read in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 8, these words. Excuse me, verse 7. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men. Can you explain that? Yes. Now this, he ascended. What does it mean that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, gave some to be apostles. Notice first on the list, just like in 1 Corinthians, and always first. Some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now, according to Ephesians 2, verse 20, apostles and prophets were the foundation of the church. And thus, in the early church, apostles and prophets had significant roles in the foundation of the church. But the church isn't building a foundation at this point. We're putting the roof on, as it were. The Lord is putting the roof on. The church is almost complete. Only the Lord knows when the last person will get saved and will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. But what remains, verse 11, are some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And why did God give these gifted men to the church? For the equipping of the saints. That as a result for the work of the ministry, which is to then result for the edifying of the body of Christ. And so, part of my responsibility as a pastor teacher is to equip you so you can fulfill the ministry God has for you. And I primarily do that through the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. That's how you get equipped. Let alone your own study of Scripture and so forth and so forth. How long is this to go on for? Verse 13. Till we all come to the unity of the faith. Not unity at the expense of the faith. We're not talking here about some ecumenical conclave in which people get together for some good cause and they take the Bible and put it under the table and the gospel is in front and center. Oh no. This is the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect or mature man to the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in cunning craftiness, of deceitful plotting. And by the way, there is a lot of that out there. It's a jungle out there. Spiritually speaking, there's a lot of lies, a lot of self-deception, a lot of false teaching. And only through sound doctrine can you have the discernment to see God's will versus man's will and what truly is of God and what is not. And that's why verse 15, but speaking the truth in love. You see, as the gifted men teach you the Word of God, you can know the truth and you can speak the truth in love just as they are to speak the truth in love. And then what results? May grow up in all things into the head, who is the head, namely Christ. Because you see, the truth always points you to Christ. My objective is not to get your spiritual umbilical cord and plug it into me. It's to take your spiritual umbilical cord, as it were, and plug it into Jesus Christ through the teaching of the Word of God, so you know how to abide in Him. You know how to walk with Him. You know how to serve Him in the power of the Spirit. You may do so intelligently, according to the Word of God, and not after traditions of men and human viewpoint. Verse 16, from whom Jesus Christ, the whole body, joined and knit together. Notice He's the one who does that. By what every joint supplies, and every joint has a place and a service, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying in itself. And this is all done in love. You see, that's God's design. That's the blueprint for the building of the body of Christ. That's how He designed it. Now, as you think of that, go to Romans 12. Because you might be saying, well, how do I know my spiritual gift? In fact, I've been saying, I don't know what my spiritual gift is. And I believe, well, as important as spiritual gifts are, that the bottom line is not a matter of knowing what your gift is. The bottom line is being in a condition of heart and a walk with the Lord and spiritual growth that allows you to serve in whatever way the Lord wants, and over time that gift surfaces. Because there is no passage in the New Testament that tells you how to know your spiritual gift. But the closest one to it is this one right here. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. This is an appeal to true spirituality. Reckoning yourself dead to sin and alive to God, you now present yourself to the Lord. Verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. This speaks of spiritual growth. How? By the renewing of your mind in the Word of God, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So as you're yielding to the Lord and you're allowing the Spirit of God to take the Word of God to transform your thinking, that can then find expression in doing that good and acceptable and perfect will. But as you do, you're going to be growing in grace. And as you're growing in grace, what should mark your life is humility. Verse 3, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly or humbly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. We're to think humbly. Now why? Because we're total products of grace, including the gifts we have. We should not take our gifts and our opportunities to serve and walk around like peacocks. Like, hey, look at me. Aren't I something? You know? No, we're to walk humbly. We're to walk in light of the grace of God that's transforming us through the Word of God. And right on the heels of that, he now talks about spiritual gifts. Verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, there's that illustration again, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, still are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing. We have different gifts. According to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Now that's in italics, but that's the idea. Let's use what God has given to us. But notice, the key is verse 1 and 2. Yielding to the Lord, being transformed in growth, and walking humbly with a servant's heart. And now use what the Lord has given to you. Verse 6 continues. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, you have a serving support gift. Let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches, use it in your teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. Let me pause for a minute. In one sense, we're all to exhort, but some are especially gifted in that. In a sense, we are all to give, but some are especially gifted in giving. And you're to do it with liberality. Verse 8, he who leads, and some are gifted in leadership, do it with diligence. He who shows mercy, I don't know if any men have this gift. Maybe. Do it with cheerfulness. Notice the idea is let the Lord use you and your giftedness and do it in a way that's used in a maximal way. Maximally. You see, through all of this, we are seeing again one body, many members, and every believer's place of service and spiritual gift is needed for the proper function and growth of the body of Christ. Now, as we go back to 1 Corinthians 12, we go to anatomy class 301 now. Verse 21. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. In other words, every member of the human body has a built-in interdependence with each other. Paul now shifts from underestimating one's importance to overestimating his importance. And by the way, while all are needed, it's true yet that we are all replaceable. God buries his workmen and continues his work. You say, well, if you lose an arm, how do you replace it? It's called an artificial limb. And that's why, even here at Duluth Bible Church, you have a needed part, whether it's prayer, or whether it's giving, or whether it's serving, whether it's evangelism and such and such. And yet, the fact is, if the Lord tarries one day, we're all going home. And hopefully this church will be going on. Because we're all replaceable. So don't deceive yourself thinking, well, how would Duluth Bible Church ever get along without you? If you're carnal, in some cases, better. Because if you're not walking with the Lord, you tend to drag others down or require more time. And thus, even those members of the human body which appear to be weaker are still very needed, though. Verse 22. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. Notice the interdependence that's needed. You know, your feet bring your mouth to where you go. Your feet are important. That's why blessed are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. And the service for Jesus Christ is never designed to be a solo performance. You're part of an orchestra. And when you are serving the Lord and you're walking with Him and you're willing to serve, that orchestra produces a wonderful full sound. When you're not, it's like a solo. And it's never designed to be that way. And that's why, did you realize that in the early church, being excommunicated or church discipline out of the local church was the strongest form of discipline in the New Testament next to physical death? That's what happened in 1 Corinthians 5. That's what happened in 1 Timothy 1. They were put out of the church. That was the most serious discipline. Now today, people walk out whistling Dixie. As if it really doesn't matter how they fail to understand the blueprint. Verse 23. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, and those we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts, guess what? We put clothing on them. We have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks. We're seeing here that even members of the human body, which are deemed not as important, not as of attractive in appearance, we actually bestow greater honor. Like your feet, what do? We put shoes on them. Like your hand, we put gloves on them. Like most of your body, we put clothing on them. And other members of the body simply need normal appreciation or respect. There are organs in your body that no one will ever see, including you, that are absolutely needed. And in the same way, there are a number of believers who serve behind the scenes. Nobody ever sees them. They'll never be up front here. They'll never get any applause, as it were. And yet how needed they are at Duluth Bible Church. Very needed. Very needed. You don't have to have acclamation. One day you can hear from the Lord, "Thou good and faithful servant." And frankly, at times when you serve and people don't appreciate it, in fact, they may criticize you. Now we'll find out if you're really doing what you're doing is unto the Lord or not. Or you have someone over and you minister to them and they never have you over. Do you say, "Well, I'll never have that unthankful jerk over again"? Or do you think in terms of what a wonderful way to show agape love to someone who didn't reciprocate? Are you doing it as unto the person or are you doing it as unto the Lord? That's why there are many people who serve here, like in Sunday school. You know, how many times have you thanked your kids' Sunday school teachers? You know, it's funny, as parents, when they first go into Sunday school when they're three, we're like, we're on them like a cheap suit, right? And we're like, "How did they do this week? How did they do this week? How did they do this?" Now, that's good. You should ask. But once they graduate out of third, three-year-old, whatever, a lot of times, we don't ever ask. "How's my kid doing in Sunday?" We don't ever ask. We figure if he was having a problem, he'd tell us, right? Do you express appreciation for those who serve in so many ways? And I'll tell you something. I am convinced as believers, even at times we may have appreciation in our heart, but we're really poor at expressing it usually. And thanking people for their various places of service. And thus, we need to do whatever we do is unto the Lord. But as people minister to you, let's increasingly grow in this area of expressing our thanks. Of telling them how we appreciate their service and so forth. And even as I think of behind the scenes ministry, how important is intercessory prayer and praying for others? See, again, it doesn't have to be up here. And see, one of the problems, again, when churches don't know how to think biblically, is they get somebody who, before they got saved, you know, they were down at the bar singing karaoke. You know. And then they get saved. And now, "Hey, I want to sing for the church." And they hand them the mic and they're like, "I'm singing for Jesus now," you know. But it's usually still all about them. Until they have time to grow. They don't know how to think differently. And they're saying, "It's all about me. It's all about me. Jesus." Yeah. You just need to give them time to grow. In fact, if you cannot do your dishes as unto the Lord, you're not ready to be up front. Is that simple? Can you, in fellowship with the Lord, look at those dishes and say, "You know what, I really don't want to do these, but I'm going to do these cheerfully as unto the Lord"? Wow! It'll transform your dishwashing. You say, "Well, I have a dishwasher. Because I didn't like doing that." Oh, well, praise the Lord for your dishwasher. Put them in as unto the Lord then. So let's consider two more applications, verse 24. "But our presentable parts have no need, but God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body." You see, God composed the body of Christ so there should be no division in it. And that was the major problem at Corinth. They were divided due to human viewpoint. They were divided because they were carnal. They were divided because they were operating out of their flesh. They were divided because of immaturity. These carnal Christians didn't value their unity in Christ. These carnal Christians did not value their diversity of spiritual gifts. These carnal Christians were operating out of their flesh, and in doing so, they elevated the gift of tongues because it was a real showy gift. And they depreciated others and their needed spiritual gifts. And there was an interdependence that was missing. And thus, dear saints, God composed the body of Christ so that believers would have the same care for one another. Verse 25. But that there would be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. You take care of your body, right? You should take care of your teeth. You should take care of your hands. Take care of your feet. And we should take care, as it were, of one another and the body of Christ. And by the way, the key to that is listening to your head, the Lord Jesus Christ, and being filled with the Spirit. Because that's where there's power. In fact, just think of the last 2 days. How life changes when there is not power. And you see, if you're not filled with the Spirit, you can still go through the functions, but you're not empowered by the Holy Spirit to do it. Now, all of this leads us to hear another short lecture with illustration and application in Anatomy 401, verse 26. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. You see, if one member of the human body suffers like the big toe, all the body suffers. Have you ever had an ingrown toenail? Man, those hurt. I get them in my left big toe sometimes. And when I do, you know what? My whole body's kind of going. You ever slam your finger in the door as a kid? I remember the car door. My whole body was affected. And by the way, that's true with carnality. Carnality is an autoimmune disease in the body of Christ, in which the members of the body, instead of working together, actually adversely affect one another. Now, on the other hand, number two, if one member of the human body is honored, like with a pat on the back, the whole body is honored. Verse 26 says that. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. The Olympics are coming up, aren't they? And when a person wins the running race and they win a medal, they go up into the stand. Do their legs just go up? Or does the whole body go up? And they put the medal around the neck, not just around the legs, right? Put around the neck as the whole person is honored, not just the legs around the race. And in the same way, as we think of the body of Christ and what goes on at Duluth Bible Church, in this church or through this church, it's a total body life concept. It's designed to be that way. We're all to look to the Lord. We're to be filled with the Spirit. Out of love, we're to minister to one another and support one another in the cause of Christ, because we can do now more together when we're thinking that way than we could alone. And that's how we need to think. And I am so appreciative for all of you. And your willingness to walk with the Lord, I'm assuming you do, to pray, to give, to serve in all kinds of ways, some more up front, a lot behind the scenes, letting the Lord use you. And as He uses you, at times you identify, I have a support gift. I don't have a speaking gift. I could never be a teacher, but I could support here. In other cases, the Lord shows you, you know what, you're gifted to teach. You just need to keep growing or be willing to let the Lord use you. Which leads us to our closing applications. Number one, remember your locality. Remember your locality. the local church God has placed you in. Verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ. Notice, you is plural, actually, in the Greek. Body is singular. Every local church is viewed as a body of Christ. The part of the bigger body, the universal body. And by the way, you can't put your arms around the universal church, but you can the local. And when God has placed you in a location, and you're part of that local church, support that local church. Be loyal to that local church. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Be a blessing to that local church. And I say that because even sometimes believers are part of this church, but they're hardly ever here. They're always gallivanting all over the place. And I understand at times when people get older, they want to be snowbirds. And I understand, you know, people have cabins, so forth and so forth. But when that cabin takes you away from that local church all the time, that's counterproductive. So remember your locality, your local church. Number two, remember your unity. You, plural, are the singular body of Christ. Not due to some ecumenical conclave, but because of faith in Jesus Christ as He's presenting the gospel, the Spirit of God has baptized you into the body of Christ. Again, we are never asked to create this unity, but to guard it, not at the expense of sound doctrine, but by holding fast to it. And we need to guard the unity of the body of Christ right here at DBC. So remember your locality. Number two, remember your unity. Number three, remember your uniqueness. Your uniqueness. Verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. You have a spiritual gift or a gift mixed to serve in the body of Christ. And God wants to use you. Now, in some cases, it's a maturity issue. You just need time to grow. In some cases, it's a timing issue. And you're not able to serve in some way where you would like, not yet. Or not any longer. In some cases, it's a carnality issue. Because you're just serving yourself and you're pursuing the things of the world. In some cases, it's an equipping issue. You just need to get equipped. Then get equipped. But remember your uniqueness. God has gifted you to serve at a maximal level in the body of Christ. Number four, recognize God's priority regarding spiritual gifts. And in verse 28, we have an order of priority. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, highest spiritual authority in the local church, or in the church in the first century. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. After that, miracles and gifts of healing, health, administration, variety of tongues. What comes in last? Tongues. What were the Corinthians elevating first? Tongues. All out of whack. Remember God's priority regarding spiritual gifts. Number five, recognize God's sovereignty and our interdependence regarding your place of service and spiritual gifts. He's the one who determined where you will serve. And we are interdependent. Verse 29, are all apostles? No. But thank God for those apostles in that first century. And thank God for everyone else. Are all apostles or prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. But some are. Are all workers of miracle? No, but some were. Do all have gifts of healing? No, but some did. Do all speak with tongues? Well, no, but some were. Do all interpret? Well, no, but some did. Notice, there was sovereignty and there was interdependence regarding your place and service of spiritual gifts. Appreciate that. You know, there are some believers that serve in certain ways here. I could never serve that. I mean, I could try, but I'd never serve as well as they do. And I appreciate that. Number six, realize God's more excellent way of using your spiritual gifts is to do so in love. Love is the more excellent way. Verse 31, but earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. What way is that? 1 Corinthians 13, it's the way of love. That is the way. That's what 1 Corinthians 13 is all about. If you do this and you do that and you do this and you do that and you don't have love, you have the gifts of the Spirit but not the fruit of the Spirit, and you're missing the boat. Because one day those spiritual gifts will cease. But love will never cease. We'll develop this more in the future. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your wonderful word and for the truths we have considered today. And thank you, Father, for how you have comprised and composed the body of Christ here at Duluth Bible Church. And we know we're just one church among many, and yet we're thankful for those who've been saved and those you've brought in to be part of this local church and those who have grown in you and who have been willing to serve in where there's need and over time even recognize they're gifted in certain areas, either speaking or serving. And in other activities where there is no gift needed, but a willingness to be filled with the Spirit and used of you. And whatever's been done, Father, and in some ways exceedingly abundantly above all we could have asked for, Father, we just want to say to you be the glory, great things you have done. And we want to thank you for the privilege of serving you and serving in this local church. I thank you for the privilege of serving as a pastor in Duluth Bible Church for all these years. I feel so honored. I'm so grateful for that privilege and that opportunity. And I do so with great sense of responsibility and a great sense of my own inadequacy, because I'm not sufficient of myself to think anything of myself. My sufficiency is of you. Thank you for the elders that serve with me. Thank you for the deacons that serve over various ministries. Thank you for many others that serve, officially and unofficially. And how by your grace we can do more for Jesus Christ together when we're united, when we are yielded to you, when we're being filled with the Spirit and serving as unto you, than we could ever do alone. And so, Father, may we all have a sense of gratefulness for your grace, a sense of appreciation for others, a sense how you want to use us in some way, in various ways, and a willingness to do so. And may we do it in love. Love for you and love for one another, because you have first loved us. And Father, thank you most of all for the Lord Jesus Christ, who through his death upon the cross and his resurrection from the grave has provided for us salvation and a place in the body of Christ. We thank you for all these things now in Jesus' name. And amen.